everyone. Welcome back to Serial Podcasters. I'm still Donna Fleming.
I'm Hannah.
And I'm still Nathan Payne, unfortunately.
Sadly. Yeah. Thanks for tuning in again. If you've stuck around this long, thank you. And today we'll be discussing social and societal issues from H.H. Holmes. We'll probably tangent off. It's how we do.
But we'll start with him.
We'll start with him.
I'm going to say there's no probably. We will make it onto a tangent in about 3 minutes.
Okay. After Donna says what she wants to about his medical stuff.
We can get to that later. But one of the biggest societal issues that came out of this was the media's blow-up of it.
Mm-hmm.
So last time we discussed how H.H. Holmes, there were wild stories released that he had killed about 200 people, which we know this day is not true at all. But so many claims were put out by tabloids, and people came in and they just got the information they wanted and said whatever sold as many papers as they could. So, on that note, do you feel like that still happens today?
Yeah.
Yes.
I feel like it's a bit worse, though. Because it's
so
changed.
Easy.
Well, no, it's because it's more accurate.
Accurate, but also just so easy. Like, you'll know about something that happened within minutes of it happening, or like live. You could know about it live.
True, but I think this kind of ties back into our fascination with these kinds of people.
Mm-hmm.
It used to just be horror, and the reason that it would sell is because when somebody says we have 200 bodies, it's horrifying, and everybody wants to know so that they can avoid it.
Mm-hmm.
And nowadays, when you hear details of a case, we just get morbidly interested.
So you're saying they weren't morbidly interested at this time? Because I definitely feel like that was probably happening.
I'm sure people were interested, but I'm also sure that at that point, because this wasn't a common occurrence, it was more about like just shock and awe. Like, wait, this guy actually did these things? Like, honestly, I think they would be far more likely to think that the whole thing was fake than just the body count.
Yeah.
Whereas now, most of the details that we get aren't fake. They're just startlingly specific. Like, mm-hmm. we know every detail.
I wonder if learning about not just H.H. Holmes, but he could have been, like, one of the, because he was America's first or whatever, serial mm-hmm. killer. He could have been the start. I wonder if that's almost where people started realizing, I'm kind of into, like, finding out about these kind of things, or, like, learning about it, or, like, it's fascinating because that was the first time it happened to them, maybe, that they, like, heard about something like that. So what if I don't know. I'm curious to see if that's how people found out that they thought serial killers were interesting or morbid things like that, and what they thought about them feeling that. Like, if they were scared that they were thinking that, or if they were, like, I don't know, the only one, like, thinking this is actually, like, I'm
like
curious.
Like, everyone's harboring the secret fascination.
Yeah.
This.
Well, because now everyone, like, it's common for people to be interested in things like this.
Yeah, we have TV shows and we have movies and stuff that pique our interest. And in this time, I think I definitely would say that people were interested. I mean, he was able to sell his story for a whole bunch of money.
Yeah,
it turned out to be like $320,000 in today's money or something like that.
Yeah.
As he was in trial, so I don't know if he ever used that, but
crazy.
Still.
Yeah, but he was still able to get that much for his story, which, I mean, he lied about anyway, so. But that, and then how they turned his home into that one House of Horrors thing until it got burned down.
Yeah.
I think people did definitely have a fascination, and just the same with, like, Jack the Ripper, people were going to the scenes and being like, whoa.
Yeah.
And
aren't there still tours about
Jack
the Ripper?
Yeah, there's
Jack
the Ripper tours, and people, there's movies and everything. This will be a movie soon.
Mm.
There's still built up fascination over the years. But I guess what you're saying is, in that time, how are people reacting?
Well, like, obviously there was a fascination, and I'm wondering if it
was concealed, or if it was, like, out in the open?
Because it was out in the open because I think it was just news and it was new and it was crazy and insane, like we've been talking about. But I wonder if people's actual fascination, like the amount of fascination they had, was out in the open, or if it was
they kept it hidden.
Oh, I don't think I should be thinking these things, like thinking about how interesting this is, or like why he did it or how he did it, you know? That's what my question is.
So if someone back then was put in our culture today,
yeah,
and like, look at the Ted Bundy files and everything,
yeah, would they be like,
what?
Would they actually be super fascinated, or would they think it's insane and disgusting and shouldn't be on television? You know, do you get what I'm saying?
I get what you're saying, but I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, who knows? None of us are from that time.
Thank goodness I wasn't born in the 1800s.
Yeah.
Donna, we all know you would have found a way to get your fix for murderous things.
That doesn't sound all right. That doesn't sound okay. Oh, never say that again.
For science, right?
I mean, that's what this guy did.
Yeah.
He was fascinated by medicine and medical stuff. And he was able to perform his autopsies and his research. And so,
by killing people.
By killing people.
Or taking already dead people.
But we see that stuff today. It's just way more hidden in, like, governments and the Nazi trials and the Nazi experimentations. Mm. There was a whole battle over whether or not we should accept those findings. And so if he was able to find actual medical, like, knowledge out, I wonder if they would have even used it, or if they would have
had someone else try to figure it out without killing people and then accept it.
I mean, yeah. I mean, stuff was going on in London, too, though, that they mm-hmm. had, like, the workhouses where they were just, let's experiment on people.
Like mental institutions and stuff?
Yeah.
As well, mental asylums?
Yeah. If you were poor, you got experimented on.
Yeah.
Or abused. Or enslaved, you know. It was fun times back in the 1800s.
Well, took a turn.
Yeah.
Well, just in general, like, psychology experiments are the same way almost, because I don't know if it's been the most recent one where, like, ethics was questioned or morals or whatever, but the Stanford prison experiment.
Stanford prison. Yeah.
I don't know how, like.
There's a movie made about that, too.
Yeah. I watched it. I'm not sure if that was the most recent and people have finally been like, oh, you know, maybe what we're doing isn't right, but probably not.
Maybe
we just don't know about it.
But, like, where do you draw the line as well? I was reading in the book called The Poisoner's Handbook, mm-hmm. how this guy did, I think it was nitrile or cyanide experiments on dogs. And he ended up, like, killing dogs to see how fast you would die if you took cyanide by mouth and, like, what concentration would kill you. And he killed a lot of dogs. But he wasn't considered morbid or weird. It was just science.
I consider him morbid and weird.
Well, yeah. I mean, reading that, I got really sad. And I was like, he killed, like, 40,
when,
40
what,
animals.
What time?
1920s.
Okay, so, like, I understand. And at the time, I feel like it would have been let go.
Yeah.
But also,
obviously, it was like, oh,
don't hurt doggos. They didn't do
puppers.
Anything to you.
No, I was sad reading it. Don't come at me with that. I'm not like I endorse
I'm,
this
I'm
man.
I'm coming at you because
psychology.
You're the person that told me this information, so.
And how I'll point you to the chapters.
Don't shoot the messenger.
That. Don't shoot the messenger.
Whoops.
Already?
No, but like, I think there was a fascination. I think Americans are more likely to be open about it than, like, say, the British.
Yeah.
I feel like the British kind of
they would
held in their fascination
for,
like, Jack the Ripper and things like that until more recently when it's, like, you know, it's
everyone,
more of a cultural thing now
everywhere.
But I feel like the Americans were just like, whoa, murder hotel. Wow. Can I visit? Can I see it?
Let's make this an amusement park.
Yeah. Well, also, like, in this time, it wasn't just mass media was able to be spread, so people probably heard about this and they're like, is this like another conspiracy?
Yeah.
Or I don't know. Do they have conspiracy theories? Probably. People
maybe.
Probably judged everything.
I don't know.
But I would read something like that and be like, that's not real. Like, that's
let
like.
Let me go find out for myself.
That's like a story tabloid where it's like, let's check the horror section.
Let me go stay there for the night and see if I die. Then we'll know it's true.
Then we'll know, then we'll know it's true. I can only trust myself.
I'd rather never know.
Yeah. That's one of those things I look at and be like, oh. And then put it to the side because it was in Chicago and we live in Texas.
Well,
Well.
Yes, well, we did have a chainsaw massacre. I heard about that a few years ago. That's a joke.
I know.
Okay.
That's why I laughed.
I'm just making sure the audience knows that I don't actually think that was true.
It's okay.
Now, the reason you know that that's not true is because if somebody did that in Texas, you'd get some, like, you'd get, like, 18 people drawing their concealed carries going, like, it's about time, and then it'd be over.
You have some warped view.
No, I think it would be over, like, instantly. I think some dude shows up with a chainsaw and a mask in public, and everybody else is like, bye.
SeaWorld Fright Fest?
Adios. What?
SeaWorld Fright Fest, they have people who walk around with chainsaws and everything.
Yes, but that's an amusement park, and they don't have blades on their chainsaws, okay?
Have you seen us? That's an amusement park.
Uh-huh.
We didn't warn spoiler alerts? Okay. Or...
It's the beginning. It's
I don't know. I've never seen it. My bad.
This podcast should not have gone there. This is not a movie review podcast.
I know.
Yet.
I'm sorry. I relate everything to movies.
That's fair. Usually I do too. No, but back to the topic at hand. I think I think Americans have always had that fascination, and I think it's just even worse now because we have more people to study, more crimes to study, and it's just there's so much information now.
And
like, if I wanted to, I could Google pictures of, like, the victims and their homes and all the evidence photos. Like, most of that's public information these days. So it's not even – it's worse than, you know, just inflating the number of bodies, I think, because even if it's one or two bodies, which is relatively tame as far as serial murderers go, I have every piece of information on the internet at my fingertips, and I can – throw myself into all the gory details, and I think that's probably worse than, you know, having a monster in another city kind of in the back of your mind in a tabloid kind of thing.
And we learn like MO stuff, and we learn how they operate, and people get ideas, and it breeds more serial killers by having them be inspired by the people that they saw on TV and read about and saw glorified almost.
So that's one of the things that I've often wondered about H.H. Holmes is whether he was really the first American serial killer or whether he was just the first one that we heard about.
Yeah.
And the other ones were like, you know, we caught this dude, but like we killed him and, you know,
the police didn't
really go anywhere with it. And honestly, I don't know if like I'd say that H.H. Holmes was surely the beginning of the mass consuming of these types of things. Like, I would say that that's the beginning of
America's
public conscious, like, obsession with it.
Yeah, mass obsession.
But I'd also probably say that he is probably being responsible, like, he's both responsible for, like, our obsession and also the rise in number of killers, I think. Because going back to, like, not that any killer would wake up and be like, it was this man. I'm not saying that.
That inspired me.
Right. No, I'm not saying that it's direct inspiration. I'm saying as we become fascinated with and we kind of culturally sort of, in a way, uplift these people, not necessarily because we physically say this is a good action. We don't. In fact, we say the opposite.
Yeah.
But the amount of time we spend saying that.
Yeah, the amount of time we're focused on these people.
And the amount of media attention and, you know, it gives them a certain notoriety.
Yeah.
And I've got to wonder if, like, if we never gave notoriety to these people ever.
Would
like,
there be as many?
Like, if nobody knew that serial killers were really a thing.
Yeah.
Would they actually exist?
Whoa. What a thought.
I mean, we'll never know, because if we knew that they existed, then they'd have,
I think that comes from the whole, if a tree fell in a forest, would it make a sound? I think if someone's running around killing people, like, people will still have this happen. I mean, this obviously happened, and he didn't have anyone that he was like, oh, I was inspired from, or anything like that.
I do still think there would be some, but I would wonder if there would be a lot less. Because a lot of it doesn't necessarily come from inspiration.
Like mental.
Yeah, because there's like people get hit in the head as a young child, and then it's like they just go crazy, or they kill animals and then move bigger. So it's not necessarily always inspiration, but I don't think inspiration, like the media and what could be considered inspiration, helps.
It does. Yeah, it doesn't help, but it also does. We wouldn't stop.
No, I definitely think there's different psychological profiles. So, like, some killers are motivated for different reasons, and I do think that, like, some of those would just – that's where their brain would take them. Inevitably, they would end up experimenting with murder.
Yeah.
But I'm – the main question, I guess, that I would wonder, and it'll never be answered, is if we didn't give them so much of our collective attention if some of them wouldn't have, because I feel like some of them are doing it because they want to be a force of fear or something like that, where they want notoriety. Now, some of them, I think, would have done this anyway. You know, if no one ever knew, they'd still have these desires.
Yeah.
But I think there's a bit of both.
I agree. And, but I also, it's, I agree, but then I also understand, at least, like, strictly safety wise, why there is some media attention. Because if there is someone going around neighborhoods killing, like we were talking about the Golden State Killer, or we watched an episode today, and we've been talking about the Golden State Killer in class, if someone's going around just raping people, you kind of want people to take extra precautions if they can to avoid it.
You want people to know, but
like
sometimes it goes overboard, and I don't think it happens exactly when everything's going on. But as reading the book and reading a whole bunch of stuff, even when we didn't know who this man was, he was caught recently. But when we didn't know what he was, we were being told everything he did and his MO down to a point in detail, which is information that I, as an investigative, inquisitive, and evidence-loving person, am sort of like, ah, that's interesting.
Yeah.
But is this something that the common
general
public should know?
Yeah.
Is this something that we should release? Especially,
or should we just be like, hey, make sure to lock your doors and like have,
hey, there's a serial rapist out there.
Yeah.
Or like, for, if we tie back to H. Holmes, like, hey, there's people disappearing out there or something like that. But there's no need to go off. I found a news article from when he was being convicted from the Evening Star, and it's got
H.H. Holmes.
Yeah,
not Golden State Killer.
Yeah. And it's got his history and stats, and it goes through his timeline.
Oh, it has a map of the house.
Has
the
map
murder
of the
castle.
House. Holmes, and it's called Holmes Murder Castle. 100 windowless rooms.
Have you guys ever read one of those like white bound DK visual dictionary books? They'll like take a concept.
I don't know if anyone knows what you're talking about.
I don't know what that is.
So they used to make them for different movies, and it would have like character pictures, and like it would break down like what parts
like
of their costumes. Yeah,
okay,
and it would
like
give you all the details and like point to, like, it would take a frame
and go into depth.
And it would kind of explain things that maybe don't show up in the movie.
Yeah.
A publisher named DK used to publish these,
okay,
and they would do
that's
them
why
about
called
random
DK.
Things.
Okay.
That's what this looks like. It looks like kind of a visual dictionary.
Yeah.
Of all the
it's got his
accoutrement.
Yeah, it's got his murders down here, and I think this says like confirmed deaths, and
which
then
is
it
low.
Has, which is low. It's
or no wait,
it's
confirmed is high.
No, that's that one right there.
The then what does the top one say? Confirmed.
I have no idea. It's very blurry. Sorry, people.
Yeah. Well, the
but,
bottom one says missing people.
Bottom one says missing people, and it's shot up. That's probably like 100, and we know that's not true, and they're just trying to over exaggerate it. But ironically enough, this article is brought to you by Term Life Insurance.
Get
their
remember
money, life insurance. Well, and
they're trying to stop this man because you see he's defrauding them of so
much
money.
Yeah, I was gonna say he pulled so many scams with life insurance.
With life insurance, and so yeah, this does look like a movie breakdown of a character or like a set that they would pick apart the set and say, hey, this is where this was and this is where this was.
It says the Holmes Castle.
Yeah.
Not the Murder Castle. Weird.
Holmes Murder Castle.
Oh, down there it does. Okay. Sorry,
but
I wasn't reading all the way.
there's just so many things released of just breakdowns of
definitely
glorifying
publicized.
Yeah, see, I think there's a difference between like keeping everybody educated and cautious.
Yep.
And mm-hmm. telling them exactly how to commit a perfect crime.
Yeah.
Which
yeah,
is like agreed. If you study, I'm going to use the East Area Rapist again because I know his MO a lot more than we know about H.H. Holmes.
Yeah.
If you study his crimes, people will literally tell you everything. And basically all it does is give you a plan for, like, if anybody wanted to know how to do that, they'd know.
Yeah.
As opposed to, you know, maybe the police come out and be like, listen, we have a suspect. He's raping people. Mm-hmm. Lock your doors, shut your window, check them every night. If you see footprints, report them.
Yeah.
You know.
If you see shoelaces
yeah,
in your backyard,
like, these
randomly.
Are the things. These are the things to look for.
Yeah.
And if you have them, call the police. And if you see them in anybody else's yard, call the police.
Yeah.
And then you
maybe
just
releasing
don't.
Releasing a sketch.
Yeah, release sketches. Don't release details about how
they
exactly the crime is committed. Because let me tell you something, that ain't gonna help you stop them.
No.
It really isn't. That's for the investigators to find the man.
Yeah.
To tie things together. But that's not going to help the public conscience. It's going to make you more scared, honestly.
And it doesn't help for people to try and pick apart and solve stuff on their own. What caused the East Area Rapist to move from...
You say that, but it is largely civilians that did a lot of the recent legwork.
Well, ultimately, it was still the police who found them.
Well, technically, yes. Because civilians don't have the jurisdiction to arrest them. But I feel like it wouldn't have been the same without a couple of the main people that were involved. But on the whole, I really don't agree with, like, just being able to see any of that. Because, honestly, I don't want to see those kinds of images and pictures. Like,
oh, yeah. No. Nope.
Hannah definitely doesn't want to see this.
No.
Hannah's not a gore person.
I'll pass on anything to do with that. But... I don't know. I definitely agree that the basics, not even the basics, what you were saying, like lock your doors, all that kind of stuff, should definitely be put out if someone's endangering
like
a neighborhood.
Yeah.
But I don't, and I hate to say this because I am fascinated by serial killers, but I just don't think we need all those details to be out there. And if they are, then like. I don't know, maybe after it's happening, not during. No, I don't know, because that still doesn't help those people who get inspiration.
Yeah, and it doesn't help people getting inspiration, and it doesn't help victims.
Yeah, it's weird to be saying this, because, like, you know, I like watching movies about it. Like, I liked watching the Zodiac Killer and things like that, because it's just fascinating. But...
Yeah, I'll be the first to admit
morally,
I love this stuff. But morally...
Or is it morally or ethically?
Same. Yes.
I don't know the difference there, but also, Donna, you do have an exemption in a weird case because you're actually trying to go into forensics,
yeah.
So you're one of the few people that, you
oh,
know, should be paying attention to these things. Because the rest... Hannah and
I
are not trying to make our jobs out of hunting killers.
To be fair, I do not pay attention as much as other people in, like, our class. Because you guys knew about lots of... Not just you, but in general, our class...
Are you judging us?
No.
I feel judged.
A lot of the names of different serial killers and stuff. Like, you could just name them off. Or if people mention them, you're like, oh, yeah, I know, like, who that was or when it happened or where it happened. I had no idea. I just like learning about it. I don't know.
For me, a lot of it, the way I see the angle with it, because I do want to go and my degree is forensic chemistry, I see past crimes such as Ted Bundy and H.H. Holmes and everything like that. And I'm like, how was this stopped? How were they caught? And how could something like this be prevented by being proactive?
Mm-hmm.
And so... using DNA evidence to catch people and uploading to genealogy sites. Therefore, because of the East Area Rapist, we now have a bigger...
East Area Rapist is a Golden State Killer. Just
yes.
In
same
case
person.
No one...
But now they have a big genetic database, which helps them solve more crimes. And I think that's a smart idea. I think that's being proactive for the future. And so that's the type of stuff that I like to see and analyze whenever analyzing this mm-hmm. stuff.
So do you think there shouldn't be any movies or books or documentaries?
Oh, that hurts me.
About serial killers then?
I feel conflicted. Because not only am I a filmmaker, so like, you know,
yeah,
I make things that could use this, but also I'm an avid consumer of these movies yeah. and TV shows. But at the same time, if somebody looked me in the eye and said, you should never make any more of these, you should never watch any more of these, I'd say, you're right.
Yeah. So, yeah.
You know, yeah. it's a little bit of both. I don't think that, like, you know, watching these movies is a sin or morally wrong, really.
Yeah.
But I do think the fact that it's in such the public eye that it's almost a cultural, like, you know, denominator in the sense that, like, everybody kind of knows a basic set of information about this stuff. And I think that's kind of sad that that's a topic that kind of combines so many people.
Well, and also, not just serial killers, but just like in general, because we have so much knowledge or because we hear about it and see it whenever we want all the time, we almost get, I don't know, this isn't the right word, immune or not immune,
desensitized.
Jaded, desensitized. That's the word I was thinking of. Desensitized to just things like this in general. And I'm not saying that's a bad thing either necessarily, but also I am. Because when it like
pick a side, Hannah.
No, because when we were talking about how I don't like gore at all, we talked about this before. I don't like it because I choose to close my eyes or whatever, so I don't ever get used to it. Whereas people who watch gore a lot, whether that be serial killers movies or not, just regular action movies, even like not even action movies,
see,
sometimes
it's medical stuff for
or,
me.
Oh, see, oh well, that's for me too. So, but yeah, then you guys kind of get used to it and you don't mind it as much anymore. And that's almost the same thing. It's online when we hear about people getting murdered or death or just in general things like that. I can tell you right now, I'm not as sensitive to it as I was before because I see so much of it, or, you know?
Right. It's like when you hear, ooh, there's a new serial killer, you go, ah, I get to go find some more clues. Maybe I can, like, figure out what's going on. And you forget to think about the fact that it's, like, actual human beings that are having to lose their life for this to happen. And, you know, I think there's just a whole lot of perspective that's gone as far as what it really means. There was – so Donna and I watched the 10 Bundy tapes on Netflix, which is a four-part – documentary that uses some interviews with Ted Bundy while he was on death row.
Mm-hmm.
And it kind of leads you through the basics of his story. It leaves a fair amount out, but there's a lot of stuff going on.
Mm-hmm.
And at the end, they showed footage from outside the jail compound the day that he was executed.
Mm-hmm.
And there was so many people outside just cheering and like going on. And like even the cops that caught him, you know, in the interview where they're like, yeah, this man deserved to die. Like, I fully believe that that was correct. But the amount of people that didn't seem to understand that even killing the killer he should be mourned. Like, the fact that a human had to die, another one, after so many had already died. Yeah. Like,
and the footage looked like, if you would have
like a party,
if you would have not shown the penitentiary, I would have thought this would have been party. Like frat party, a festival of some sort. People were selling stuff. They had children there. It was crazy to see how people were just so hyped for something. And while it's like, okay, yeah, sure, he did these things, and like death sentence happened, and it's like, okay, another bad man gone.
Mm-hmm.
To celebrate, there are much better things in this world to celebrate than that, and to focus on than that.
Yeah.
And I also think there's a difference between, so like if anyone were to ask me, do you think are you happy that Ted Bundy got executed? I would technically say yes. I think that was fitting and he deserved it.
Yeah.
And since we had convicted him and whatever, But at the same time, you can't take death lightly, because if you do, even with the bad guys, it's a human life. So eventually you're desensitized to innocent human lives as well. Which is the problem.
Yeah.
The question of where does the line get drawn in the sand?
And the line should be drawn at it's a human being. It matters.
Yeah.
You know, even if they've done bad things, you have to treat the idea of taking a life the same way, regardless of who the person is.
Yeah, but just in general, we don't.
No. Right. Yeah. And I think that we kind of justify ourselves by saying, oh, but he was a bad person. And it's sure, he was. You're not wrong.
Mm.
But the main problem that we have as a whole society, I think, would be just not seeing other humans the same way.
Mm-hmm. Well, and it's super easy when it's not someone you know.
Right.
And that's the majority of the time is true for everyone, because it's only a minority who actually are affected. Not that they don't matter, obviously, but like the majority of the people learning about it or seeing about it.
Most of us have no idea what it actually feels like.
Exactly. Yeah.
So when we wish for something, we don't even know what it means.
Yeah. Or, yeah. So.
Yeah. Super deep.
But deep tangent.
Well.
Yeah, well.
I don't know. This stuff is...
It's very important to discuss, because I feel that y'all are correct in the ways of the world being desensitized to violence. I mean, you go to the box office today, almost every other movie, whether it be serial killer or not, is very heavily bloodied, and you see people's like throats get slit on a screen, and nobody bats an eye. And so, I think a lot of it does come from the culture, like, breeding off of these violent kills, how H.H. Holmes didn't just kill his victims. I mean, he did the gas chamber, he slid them down the chute, and he performed surgeries on them. Jack the Ripper took all the organs out, and that stuff fascinated people. It's
just like, why? That's always my fascination, is why. But I don't need to know if it inspires other people. I don't need to know.
It definitely doesn't help other people.
Yeah.
So on that deep note.
Thanks for listening to our podcast. This is our podcast. I know.
Doesn't even know how to say the word.
I don't even know where that came from. Anyways, thanks for listening to our podcast. This is our last episode of the Serial Killer series.
Donna, we may or may not come back. Yeah. We don't know.
Maybe. We're looking at Donna.
Yeah. I don't know.
She's going to organize it if it does happen.
Yeah, I was going to say Hannah and I are, you know, on the way out.
He's for sure on the way out. I'm for sure leaving, like graduating, but potentially leaving Beaumont. Who knows? Yeah. Lots of options, so.
Yeah, so Donna, we're going to leave her all alone.
You might get some new people. Might never get another episode again.
We'll leave you on a cliffhanger.
Dun, dun, dun.
Thanks for listening, y'all.